I'll be back in Exodus chapter 14. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. Can you believe? It amazes me when I think of all the rotten things that I have done. All the times that I've let God down. All the times that I've missed His mark for my life. That's what sin is, missing the mark. All the times I've missed the mark. And He took it on. He took it on Himself.
Amen.
He did that for all of us. For all the people who have ever lived, billions and billions, who have walked the face of the earth, that same Jesus Christ who took all of my sin and disgust and bore it on the cross loves me so much that He wants a relationship with me. What a thought. You know, there are times when I get in groups of people and I am a person, I want people to like me. What's the personality for that one? I have a desire for people to like me. Brother Dwayne, what's the name of that personality? It's one you have. She's pointing at you. I know it is. It's not phlegmatic. It is sanguine. Yes. Man, that is me. I want people to like me. And so I get into a group of people and I pick them out and I see certain people and I want them to want to talk to me and I want them to want to have a relationship with me. And I don't have to do that with God because He wants it all the time.
Amen.
He gives us these opportunities. And I shared just a touch of this with the teenagers on Wednesday night. He gives us opportunities such as reading His Word and even just as simple as being here during a sermon so that He can talk to us, so that He can spend time with us. That same Lord that took all of our sin and knows us for who we really are, He wants to have a relationship. That just blows my mind all the time. What a great way to follow up that psalm, though, with I have decided to follow Jesus. It is well with my soul, so I might as well follow Him. What a great thought. It's one of my favorite songs. You can ask the teenagers. It's the one I ask for almost every week, probably, up in track club. And if you've ever heard a group of teenagers really singing unto the Lord, and they sing that song, it'll get you charged up a little bit to want to do something for God. That's all free. That has nothing to do with the message tonight. Exodus chapter 14. I'm just going to read the two verses that we really keyed in on this morning. You're all familiar with the story, I hope. The story of the children of Israel being trapped. The Lord led them into a trap, basically. The armies of Pharaoh were behind them, ready to charge, ready to attack, and they don't know what to do. They're stuck in a problem. Moses said unto them in verse 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." We talked about life being full of problems this morning. It's been said that you're either coming out of a problem, currently in a problem, or about to go into a problem. And isn't that the truth when it comes to life? There are so many facing tough decisions, probably sitting here tonight. You're surrounded by problems. You're maybe stuck between a rock and a hard place like the children of Israel. You just might be feeling trapped. And the idea behind the messages today is to help you see what Moses seen, to help you view your situation the way Moses did. There is nothing impossible with my God. I read this morning. There is no problem too big for God to solve, because nothing is impossible. There is no relationship so ruined that He cannot reconcile, because nothing is impossible with God. There is no habit holding us that He cannot break, because nothing is impossible with Him. There is no one so ill that He could not heal if it were in His will, because nothing is impossible. There's no weakness that cannot be made strong through Him, because nothing is impossible. If you're thinking that your situation is out of His hands, then you don't know this God. What an awesome God we have. The Bible tells us that it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. We're going to go through problems. We're going to face trials and tribulations. There's going to be times where we feel like we're trapped. In verse 13, what we read here this morning, Moses starts off telling them, "Fear ye not." He's telling them, listen, you need to have some confidence, not in yourself or your abilities. You need to have confidence in who God is and the fact that He can do all things, because with God, nothing is impossible. Faith does not operate in the realm of possible. There would be no glory for God in that. The children of Israel looked at their problems and they lost sight of God. Moses looked at God and lost sight of the problem. Nothing is impossible when you trust the Lord. But Moses didn't stop there. He didn't stop with "fear ye not." He continued on and gave them the next order, the next command, or the next way to help them see God for who He really was. He said, "Stand still." Stand still. The Hebrew word here for stand still means to set yourself, to prepare yourself, or to be at the ready. It made me think of Psalm chapter 46, probably a favorite psalm of many of those sitting here. It says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It goes on later to say, "He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." Sounds like where the children of Israel were at. And then it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." The verse and the phrase, "Be still and know that I am God," is the same kind of idea given here, to stand still. Prepare yourself. Get ready. Pay attention. I like to think of it as God's got something special for you. It's those times in life that God wants to do some of His greatest works and greatest miracles. Are you ready? Are you paying attention? Ever use that phrase? Something similar like that with your kids? I was thinking about this afternoon. How many times I've told my kids to be still or stand still. I can think of times when I'm sitting in the kitchen table writing something, and they come in and they have a question for you. And of course, they need an answer immediately. And I'll be sitting there writing, I'll be like, just give me a minute, let me finish the sentence. Because if I stop in the middle of a sentence, I'll never finish it. But give me a minute, just let me finish the sentence. But you know how kids are, they need an answer now. And so they start getting antsy, and they grab a hold of the table, and they start jumping up and down, start shaking the table, and you can't write. And what's your response? Would you be still? Or stand still for just a minute? Let me get this finished. I was thinking of times maybe... Something happens to a child when you try and zip up their coat. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm the only parent that faces this. But instantly they lose all bone density in their body. They turn into flubbering jello all over the place. I don't know what it is. But you're trying to just zip up their stinking coat to go outside. Stand still for just a minute so I can get this zipped up. I was thinking of the impressive feats of strength that happens when you attempt to put a child in their car seat. Would you just be still so I can buckle this seatbelt? How about trying to have a conversation with someone at church? You know, moms, you get to church and you're standing 3 feet away from another actual adult. And you actually get to be able to speak to somebody face to face who's not four. And for some reason, they find that space between you and keep running back and forth and back and forth and jumping up and down. Be still for just a minute. Let me have an adult conversation, please. How about trying to listen to a sermon during a Sunday night service? Would you just be still for 10 minutes? Pastor Lear is not long-winded, I promise. Just be still for a few minutes. Usually when the kids don't listen to stand still or be still, my next words would come out something like this: would you please stop? Just relax for a minute, please. I almost kind of think that that's the idea that God's trying to get across here when he says, stand still. He's trying to convey this through Moses, saying, just stop. Stop complaining. Stop looking for a way out. Stop stressing over your situation. I'm in control. Would you just give it a rest? Stand still. You don't always have to have the answers. You don't always have to see the outcome. Sometimes God just wants you to stand still. If you have the confidence that you're following God and you're not fearing because you know that He's in control, then you should be able to have the patience to just be still. When I'm facing problems or troubles, I don't have to keep looking for the answer. I have to keep looking for God. I need to be searching the Scriptures. I need to be spending time with Him. I need to be listening to messages. I need to be praying. I need to be seeking godly counsel. The word godly being the key word in that phrase. But I don't just need to be looking for a way out. To quote a wonderful pastor who preached a great series of sermons from this very passage of Scripture, he said, I am where I am because it's part of God's plan. We get so worked up about our problems that we begin to scratch and claw and dig and we start scrambling, trying to figure out a way. And in the end, we generally make things worse than what they were. Sometimes we need to just wait on the Lord and renew our strength so that we can mount up with wings as eagles. Wednesday night, I preached a message to the teenagers on this very idea. We're walking through Hebrews chapter 11, and it's a series on faith and having faith now as a generation of teenagers. And Wednesday night's message was faith with no options wanted, N-O-W, faith with no options wanted. Stop looking for other options. You have, every time you face a problem, a situation, a decision, a choice, you really have two options in front of you. You can choose Jesus. The option is Jesus, or the option is anything else. Any other way, anything you can think of, any other way you can scratch and claw and make it happen, or you can just choose Jesus. Stop trying to run from your problems and start running to God. If you're running to God and the problems hit you along the way, at least you know you're still on the right path. Over the last 60 years, our society has taught us to be in a rush. We live in a world of instant gratification. We rush into things like relationships. And the world has taught us that we don't need to wait on the Lord. We need to explore our options. And the result of that is a divorce rate that has skyrocketed over 60%. Over 75% now in second marriages is the divorce rate. We rush into purchases, which causes financial stress and debt. If I'm not mistaken, I read the statistic a while back. If I'm not mistaken, I think the average household debt in the United States is somewhat $60,000 of household debt because we're not willing to wait. We're impatient. We want to rush. Stop rushing. Stand still. Prepare yourself. Get ready. Wait on the Lord. We can't let our worries and our stresses make us to start hopping around like a child and stressing ourselves out. By the way, that stresses your family out as well and others. We can't be looking all over and in every direction for an answer, because then we forget to look in the right direction, up. Life is full of unknowns, but God already knows the end from the beginning. When the hard times, problems, sicknesses, weaknesses, and trials and tribulations come along, these are the times that we should be seeking God, not answers. He's the one with all the answers. We need to seek Him. Stop worrying. Stand still. I can see Moses just trying to calm the children of Israel down, just like we try and calm our children down. Stand still. Relax. Prepare yourselves. A dense fog, I've used this illustration before, but it's so good. A dense fog that covers New York City can shut down a 7-block radius, 10 stories high, in New York. And you know that entire amount of fog is compressed down into one glass of water. They can shut down 7 blocks, 10 stories high. It's actually divided into about 60 billion drops of water, for those who like statistics. There's not much there, but it can cripple an entire city. It's amazing what a little worry will do to the Christian life. It's absolutely crippling. What does your worry do? It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. It does not make you escape the evil, but it will make you unfit to cope with it. Rather than worry, when you're unsure what to do, just keep doing what you know to do. Wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. Stand still. Prepare yourself. Be ready for the next step. Whenever God shows you that, whatever that next step may be prepared. Be ready. Be waiting on the Lord. George Massena was one of Napoleon's generals. He suddenly appeared with 18,000 soldiers before an Austrian town which had no means of defending itself. The town council met, certain that surrender was their only answer. The old pastor of the small town church sat with the council and reminded them that it was Sunday and begged them to hold services as usual and to leave the trouble in God's hands. So they followed his advice. The pastor went down to the old church and began ringing the church bells to announce the service. The French soldiers heard the church bells ring and concluded, assumed, that the Austrian army had come to rescue a town. They broke camp, and before the bells had ceased ringing, they vanished, leaving the town to be. Worrying accomplishes nothing productive. Waiting on the Lord prepares you for His production. I wrote this down just referencing the marriage and divorce statistic. Don't rush into a relationship because you're worried you'll be alone. Wait on God. I tell teenagers all the time, don't go to college just because you're done with school. Wait on God. Make sure you're doing what He wants. If you want to know God's will for your future, make sure you're in His will for the present. There's a sure way to be able to figure it out. Stand still. Be prepared. God's got something special. He's about to do something awesome. One of the reasons you face trials and tribulations. Be prepared. Do what God wants you to do now so that you can do what He wants you to do in the future. He should be your way out. He should be your refuge. He should be your strength. Seek Him and He will give you the answers. Stop fluttering around trying to do it on your own. Snap to attention. He is God. He has the answer. Be still and know that He is God. I think of that phrase, stand still. And it reminds me every morning here at the school, we say pledges to the American flag, the Christian flag, and the Bible. And before they ever start the pledge, the first word that the person in charge or leading says is attention. It's supposed to make you snap to attention. Pay attention. Stand still. Focus on the flag. Here it is. We're about to do something great. By the way, if you don't believe the pledge to the American flag is great, I'd like to speak with you after the service. Same thing with our national anthem. We won't go there. Attention. Be still. Stand still. And know that He is God. Moses said, fear ye not, stand still. And then finally, he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, the time between the start of your trials and the moment we stop looking at that problem and start looking at God is the time that Satan will attack you the most. It's so easy when you're in the midst of a problem to get distracted and focused on the problem and take your eyes off of God, and that's when Satan attacks. He will drive you to discouragement and despair as long as you're focused on what's wrong. Stop and see the salvation of the Lord. Look what He's done in the past and look to what He can do in the future. The possibilities truly are endless. He is full of blessings and goodness and salvation. I just went through and picked out a few that stuck out to me. He gave me an acceptance that can never be questioned out of Ephesians 1:6. He gave me an inheritance that can never be lost from 1 Peter 1:3 through 5. He gave me a deliverance that can never be excelled from 2 Corinthians 1:10. He gave me a grace that is always sufficient and will never be limited from 2 Corinthians 12:9. He gave me a hope that can never be disappointed from Hebrews 6:18 and 19. He gave me a bounty that can never be withdrawn from 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 23. He gave me a joy that never need be diminished from John 15:11. He gave me a nearness to God that can never be reversed from Ephesians 2:13. He gave me a peace that can never be disturbed from John 14:27. He gave me a righteousness that can never be tarnished from 2 Corinthians 5:21. And yes, He gave me a salvation that can never be canceled from Hebrews 5:9. He's given us a lot. And He's got so much more in store. He doesn't always give us what we want, but He does always give us what we need. When we see Him for the victor that He is, we cannot help but keep our eyes on Him. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-loving. My God is all-gracious. He is my salvation. Can you see His deliverance? Can you get a good look at what He's already done for you? At the blessings He's already given you? What a comfort to the possibility of what He can do, no matter the situation you're going through. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of man. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, am most richly blessed. The greatest test of our faith is our ability to see God in these impossible situations. It's our ability to see the God of the impossible in these problems that truly seem impossible. It's our ability to fear not, to stand still, and to see the salvation of the Lord. Can you see Him tonight? Can you see His salvation? Can you see what He's done for you and what He has for you? Fear not. Stand still. Stop looking for a way out. Stop beating your head off the rock. See the salvation of the Lord. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight.